Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, your never-failing providence sets in order all things, both in heaven and earth. Put away from us, we entreat you, all hurtful things, and give us those things which are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Joy. Egypt.
I heard an unfamiliar voice saying,
I eased his shoulder from the burden. His hands were set free from bearing the load.
You called me Israel, and I saved you.
I answered you from the secret place of thunder, and tested you at the waters of Meribah.
Reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. We do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
One Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples were going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. By the time the fourth commandment, I think it's the fourth, wasn't it the fourth? I think so. Anyway, by the time it got to Jesus' day, the Ten Commandments had grown into the 613 commandments. Because throughout history, when there was a gray area like remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, even though the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, made clear that even applied to the slaves in your household, they made new laws to say what it meant not to do this, to fill in the blanks of the negatives of the law. And by that time, if you did anything work-wise, it was against the fourth commandment. It was unlawful to pick grain and rub with your hands, because that was work, and eat it on the Sabbath. And to this day, Orthodox Jews have to live within a mile of the synagogue, because if you walk more than a mile, it's work, and you can't do that. It's against the Sabbath. And you see, even in our history, the way that was carried over in the old blue laws, that one of which just went by the boards in this year's state legislature. Now we can sell booze on Sunday. Wow. It's taken over 2,000 years to listen to Jesus' words. And that's kind of sad in a way. Not that we ever should have been a government that went solely on Christian or Judeo-Christian teachings. We should never have been doing that in the first place. There should be a separation of church and state, and it should always have been not based on the law that was in the Bible. Be that as it may, the misinterpretation of that in Jesus' time and all the way up into our time was an overstress on it and a not letting you do anything and saying, oh, this is terrible. And in fact, it was the first, probably the first time in Mark where the Pharisees and the Herodians began to say, let's gather evidence against this man. Second chapter of Mark. But then on the other hand, one of the reasons that we cite, although I don't think it's really a good one, for the lack of children in church, is because they've started playing so many sports things on the weekend that the finals are on Sunday, and so we can't possibly stay home and go to church. Yet even as recently as 100 years ago, if you saw the film Chariots of Fire, one of the staunch Christians in there wouldn't run his Olympic race on the Sunday when it was scheduled because Europe was way far ahead of us, although we've more than caught up to them now because we are happy to sell booze on the Sabbath now. But if you take a closer look at the law, the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's important to look at the why and the wherefore about that. And it goes back, of course, to creation. God made the world. God did his work in 6 days of the week, and on the seventh day he rested, and therefore we should rest. So the commandment is a way of saying, let's take care of ourselves. Let's not let our work become so important and even our play become so important that we can't rest because God rested and resting is good for you. Tell that to your spouse if the lawn needs mowing.
Amen.
But there's an additional reason, because the reason for this law is twofold. The other reason is to say that 6 days a week, go about your human business, but at least one day of the week, let God and God's word and God's example take precedence. So that we are always reminded of the place of God in our human endeavors. There probably are other reasons, but those are the two main ones as to why we follow. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And Jesus, when he was being tempted to break that commandment, did so in a way that was positive and productive. Because in keeping with the law being good for us, he even posed the question once, what if your ox falls into the ditch on the Sabbath? Are you going to leave it there, let it die? No. God is a God of life, and you do what you have to do. It's not breaking the spirit of the commandment if you do what you have to do. Because after all, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for us. We were not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us. So the key on it is your intent. The key on it is, why do you do something that on the surface seems against the fourth commandment? If it's to be something good for you. To me, one way to look into this is to say, one way that we should try to follow Jesus' comment on it, the Sabbath was made for humanity, not humanity for the Sabbath. We don't keep the laws because that's what the only thing that makes us right in God's eyes. But the Sabbath was there for our good. So one of the best ways to know whether what we're doing on the Sabbath is of God or not, I think, is to look at this through the lens of, now get ready for this. This is old and it ain't very original. Scott Peck's Four Stages of Human Development, and therefore spiritual development. Now, there have been lots of different people who've come out with things about stages of faith and stages of human development and whatnot. And this is just one person's opinion, but it's pretty interesting as to trying to understand how we should live and try to fulfill the commandments, but do so in a way that is of Christ and not of legal ramifications. If you don't know who Scott Peck is or was, 20 or 30 years ago, he was quite the rage in terms of the psychiatric and psychological community. His most famous book was, what was the name of that book? What's that? The Road Less Traveled. Somehow it went out of my mind. Exactly right. The first line of which was, life is difficult. He hooked so many people with that because so many people could relate and say, yes, life is difficult. And so the Road Less Traveled was telling you ways to make life not a burden, but a blessing. He went on to write several other books, but his popularity and his influence kind of peaked with the Road Less Traveled. I was blessed to be able to attend as a staff member two of his conferences at Canuga, the Episcopal Center over in North Carolina, and serve as a staff member for those two conferences, and it was eye-opening in many ways. And one of the things that he taught was his stages of human and spiritual development. Now, mind you, this is not the Bible, but it's a good way to try to understand and live biblical principles. The first stage, and these are not necessarily sequential, although they are sequential. They're not necessarily sequential because you can move up and down on them, but they basically function as a way of development of becoming our best for God. The basic stage is, of course, the atheistic stage. Now, this is not to say that you don't believe in God. It's just that it sort of starts out non-godly. It's sort of no godly. You live that way, not in terms of saying, I believe or I don't believe, but as the way you live. Think about an infant. Infants believe in themselves, right? When they want to poop their pants, they poop their pants. When they want to have something to eat, they wail and cry. And they are totally self-absorbent. They are totally self-focused. That's the way it is, and there's no way around it. So that's the basic human essence. We are who we are. We need what we need. Gimme, 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 mine, 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 more, more, more. And you know what adult corresponds with that? The criminal. The criminal's out just for him or herself. They want what they want when they want it, and they're going to take it by any means necessary. And don't you think our president has riled us up to believe in that by blaming the Mexicans and blaming the gangs and, you know, blaming somebody. I got to have somebody else. Lock her up. That gelled us to not us necessarily, but some people to be with him. You think of anybody else who used that tactic maybe about almost a century ago? Always have some scapegoat to blame things on. There is a sense that's the criminal level. You do what you want when you want it. And the place where that occurs is in the penitentiaries, right? But the penitentiaries also introduce to us the second level. Let's call it the authoritative level. The authoritative stage of personal development. I remember when we had a vacation Bible school once, and we always did that with the community in church I first started out, and one of the Baptists came in and said, "Let's teach them this song. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and grow. Forget your Bible, neglect to pray. So forget your Bible, neglect to pray, and shrink. It's the formulaic sense that if you just follow the rules, everything's going to be cool. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to be blessed. By the way, that was also in the Bible known as the Deuteronomic theory. Did you know that we read from Deuteronomy, the Deuteronomy version of the fourth commandment? The Deuteronomic theory still pervades to this day, even though it's been debunked even in the Bible. And that is that if you keep the law, you will be rewarded. And if you break the law, you will be punished. And there's not any exception. That was sort of the attitude of the Pharisees. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, and if you don't, we're going to string you up. And the institutional level that you see of the criminal that leads us into that is that the prison. In the prison, you do what the man says. And if you don't do what the man says, you do what your subsector of the prison says. You've seen it on TV. You know what I mean. So there's that structured and ordered sense that everything's going to be okay if you just play by the rules, stick to the regimen, and everything's going to be exactly right. And don't disbelieve that isn't the way we teach our children to learn the faith. I remember when I was about to be confirmed, we had to memorize the Ten Commandments. We had to memorize the Confession of Sin. We had to memorize the Creed. You had to memorize all this stuff so you knew exactly what was expected of you and exactly how to do it. And the Lutherans still do that, you know. The Lutherans have 2 years of confirmation classes. 2 years. Not necessarily the ELC. I don't know what they do, but Missouri Synod, I'm pretty much convinced they still do that. I mean, you got to earn your way into heaven because that's what it's about. Earn your way into heaven. Episcopal Church is often criticized because we don't demand such strictness so much. I've even been known to say, if you want to get confirmed and you haven't been through the classes, come on and we'll confirm you if you promise that you'll take the classes the next time they're offered. Because if somebody really wants it, they ought to be able to have it. Which leads to the third level. Sort of the Jesus level of humanity was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for humanity. Learn to live with that in the sort of gray areas, that is the agnostic level, for lack of another term. Now, that's not to say that you don't necessarily believe, but you're freer to question. It's the sort of Thomas, doubting Thomas level that we Episcopalians are so proud that we can say, you know, sometimes I preach about healthcare. You know why I preach about healthcare sometimes? Not because I'm a Democrat, although I am, and I'll admit it, Amen. Okay? But the reason that I preach health care is because this diocese, the Diocese of East Tennessee, passed a resolution saying we believe in universal health care for everyone. And we memorialized that to General Convention, and the General Convention adopted it as the stance of our church. And that's where we stand. But here's the thing. We ain't going to kick you out if you don't believe in it. You have the right to disagree. You are free to make those decisions yourself based on what you believe and what you think is best. But our official stance is we are in favor of universal health care. We don't pin down the exact ways of whether it's Obamacare or somebody else's care. We just say we are in favor of universal health care because everybody deserves to be able to have health care. So that, for lack of a better term, we call the agnostic level. We're not so sure what the ultimate right or wrong is, but for us, we choose to follow and obey Jesus as Lord. But Peck says there's another level that's beyond all those three stages: the atheistic, the authoritative, and the agnostic. And that is the level of the mystic, where we are able to be in union with God to the point where there's nothing we do that is apart from God and what we believe God to believe about us. Now, Peck makes it really clear. It's okay to be in any one of these levels, although the atheistic isn't very good. It's sort of counterproductive. And not many people are going to be on the mystical level because that takes St. Francis or Mother Teresa or somebody like that to be able to pull it off. So most of us exist somewhere and most of the time go back and forth between the authoritative and the agnostic. Because it does help to have a regimen. It does help to say, this is the fourth commandment, it's what we try to live by. But at the same time, humanity was not made for the Sabbath was made for humanity. And let's be reasonable with that and apply it with the mercy and love of Jesus so that we can find a way to live the via media that is what God calls us to live, living in the world, but living God's values as we strive to understand what are the gray areas and how should we make decisions about them. I hope that didn't muddy the waters too much about this commandment, but it's not as easy as it seems unless you're strictly on the authoritative stage. And then there ain't no other way to do it. Well, Jesus makes it clear. The Sabbath was made for humanity. The story I want to close with you is one you may have heard before. It's been around a long time. It's about a local Special Olympics where they were about to do the 50-yard dash. And all of the participants lined up to get ready to run the 50-yard dash. And sure enough, the starting gun went off, and the children started down the 50-yard dash only to have one little boy trip and fall. When the others noticed he wasn't with them, they all stopped. They all went back
lifted him up. Said, "It'll be all right." And hand in hand, they finished the course.
I'm not going to try to unpack that for you. I think it speaks for itself. And even though these were not people who were mystical, it showed that a little child or little children can be so enmeshed in what is right, what is fair, and what is for everyone that they merge and live that faith. And the power of love and mercy shall follow them and us all the days of our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Let us profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed, found on page 9. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he came in our Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people are found on page 10. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work, for families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone, for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and the proper use of your creation, for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and the unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, Brian, our bishop, Pat and Perry, our priests, for all of us as ministers who share in God's work through this parish and in our lives, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God and the church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, especially for those who are on our prayer list. For Margaret, Steve, Nicole, Courtney and JR, Blair, John and Joan,
Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Regina, Irene, Larry,
Are there any other intercessions or petitions? Hear us, Lord. Send your Spirit upon this congregation and its leaders to call a new rector and prepare our hearts to receive this person.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's need.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
We thank God for Michael's 51st birthday yesterday.
We pray for the members of our armed forces. And we give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary this week, especially Sally and Jean Sieg. We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, especially Jean Cheryl, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom.
And for Lou Garcia.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us,
most merciful Father.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins,
known and unknown,
things done and left undone.
And so uphold us by your Spirit,
that we may live and serve you in the newness of life,
to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
And a good and joyful. but chiefly are we bound to praise you. For chiefly are we bound to praise you, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father. In this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting.
I will praise them all.
us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Continue to grant you wisdom and devotion in the ordering of your common life, that each may continue to be to the other a strength in need, a counselor in perplexity, a comfort in sorrow, and a companion in joy. Join right hands. Just as may have been done when you were married initially, I want to tie the knot again. May your wills continue to be knitted together in God's will, and your spirits in God's spirit, that you continue to live together in love and peace all the days of your lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you. The Lord mercifully with his favor look upon you and fill you with all spiritual benediction and grace, that you may faithfully live together in this life and in the age to come have life everlasting.
Amen.
And now, unto God's gracious mercy and protection, we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Over the hills and
goes.